Sports Day for Kia. The Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That's Red Energy.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day. Stuart Dew, not far away. The Gold Coast Suns coach, who is a little embattled at this stage. Scoop McClure joins us. And Scoop, it's been a pretty big day for news, and it continues to filter through with the AFL making some even late changes on their late changes.
Yeah, hello, Jared. Looking forward to chatting to Richo tonight. Now it's a big edition of Yes, No. As we told you last night, it's the expected changes. Port Adelaide v Sydney now taking place at 4:35 or 4:05 local time, and Sydney have agreed to those strict protocols where they basically act like a Victorian team. They'll fly in and fly out on the day. And as we told you last night, that 1:10 game is now at the MCG on Sunday between the Giants and the Hawks.
Now, I had to grab you by the scruff of the neck and drag you in. I know you're working on something fairly significant, and it did sound as if it had the blues without eavesdropping too much. What is eavesdropping on my calls?
Well, there's supposed to be soundproof rooms out the back.
Unfortunately, they're not. Technology issues continue, which is good in sometimes. Tell me, what is the latest at Blueland, who are about to officially launch their investigation? And didn't Lee's commentary last night get a bit of airplay?
Yep, certainly got a lot of traction, Jared. So the interesting thing that I can tell you tonight is that Carlton, like a lot of other clubs, are going through a process of sounding out potential suitors to be both senior assistant coaches and assistant coaches for next year. Now, the weird thing here is that Carlton are in the middle of, or just about to start, an external review of the football department. So Brad Lloyd, who's being reviewed as part of that, is doing interviews with potential assistant coaches for next year. The name that I have been told by several people that is high up on Carlton's hit list is a guy who played 250 plus games at the Tigers. He was captain, Jared, and he's now Chris Newman. Chris Newman finishes
highly credentialed and highly thought of, but gee, the Hawks would be filthy, wouldn't they? They're going to keep going back to the same well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they've poached a few from the Hawks. Just at the top of my head now, what they've got. Brendan Bolton, obviously that didn't work
Andrew
out.
Andrew Russell. Didn't they get the club psych as well?
Yeah, that's right. Tara Kavanagh is her name. Highly regarded in psychology. She moved from Hawthorn to Carlton as well. Now, Chris Newman went straight from playing into being an assistant. Many people thought that he was an assistant at Richmond after. He wasn't. Went straight to Hawthorn. After a year, he was doing so well, Jared, that they made him coach at Box Hill. And they just come off a horrible year, Box Hill. The next year, they made a prelim. The next year, they won the flag. He was named VFL Coach of the Year in that year, in 2017, when they made the prelim. He is as highly regarded as they come. Now, the interesting thing here, just as a sidebar, Chris Newman is very close friends and an ally of Sam Mitchell.
Right.
Who's out of contract as well.
Okay.
Now, some people at Hawthorn have told me today that if Sam Mitchell was to become an assistant coach, a senior coach next year somewhere other than Hawthorn, that he would take Chris Newman with him. So this is the difficulty that a club like Carlton finds themselves in. They can't, unfortunately, I know people were thinking, how can they be hiring blokes or interviewing blokes and they're going through a review? The unfortunate thing here for Carlton is they can't wait for the review to be done. The review potentially.
Well, they're going to have to.
Yeah, but Jared, they can't.
Because
say,
if let's just say David Teague loses his job, and they appoint Ross Lyon.
Yep.
I can tell you now, Ross Lyon won't be going there and being told who his assistant coaches are. He's gone down that track. I would be strongly of the view that if they could convince Ross Lyon, this is any club, rather than just Carlton, if they could convince somebody like Ross Lyon or Alistair Clarkson, one of the absolute top enders.
Nathan Buckley.
They are going to say, well, that's fine, but I'm bringing my own team.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one, Jared. I don't disagree with you. And you know that I've been quite critical of Carlton in recent times. But I also think that the club can't be seen to be just sitting on its hands waiting for a review to tell them that in September, hey, you guys need a whole bunch of new assistant coaches. And they turn around and say, well, all the good ones have been signed up.
Well, quite clearly, they may need to come up with a preliminary finding on the senior coach to make that all work.
Well, this is the tough thing,
Jared. They
either
appoint the senior coach within a month and say, okay, bang, you're in.
I don't think they can appoint the senior coach while the review's going on. That's just
But they could do a preliminary finding of the – I mean, ultimately, as you've just enunciated, there are absolutely flow-on effects that need to be triggered off by the senior coach either staying or going.
Yep, I agree.
And so I think that probably needs to be brought forward as quickly as possible to allow all these other appointments to go forward.
Jared, don't you and I know a bloke that played a lot of footy with Chris Newman?
Richo, it's all interesting stuff. You know Chris Newman, and trust me, there is something else that Scoop's keeping from us. I'm not quite sure what it is. He's still got something there.
Just working away. Has he talked to us while we've been sitting?
Oh, you've been eavesdropping as well, have you?
I have been, yeah. No, Chris, hugely respected at Richmond. Took over, obviously, the captaincy in 09 and then helped.
Was he your captain?
Or yeah,
last year. Last year, okay.
And then, obviously, Dimmer started in 2010, where he was captain for the next 3 years. And they were really important years for Richmond.
They're developing, weren't they?
Developing, young list. So they went from basically the bottom to just on the edge of finals under Newey. And then they played finals the next 3 years when Trent Cotchin took over. But Newey was the captain through that transitional phase. Really important for Damien Hardwick through that phase to build up and bring those guys through. So no surprise that he's highly regarded. He's a terrific guy. And he's ticked every box, hasn't he? He's coached his own team, as you said, VFL Coach of the Year, Premiership, and Senior Assistant. Like, he's just, the trajectory is there, isn't it?
Do you see him as a senior coach at some stage down the track? And like most people, they want to, they may have ambition, but I think the smarter ones just let it happen. Don't chase it and don't charge down the door.
Well, he's just ticking all the boxes, you know, along the way. He's been a captain. He's been a leader. He's been a VFL coach. He's coached his own team, obviously senior assistant under a great coach at Hawthorn in Al Clarkson. So he's certainly putting together a CV to do the job.
You got to feel for the Hawks just a little bit. I mean, think about the names. Hardwick, Cameron.
Simpson.
Fagan.
Yeah. It's a
Beveridge. Oh, there's another premiership coach. And now they've got two of their guns who they have.
It's a finishing school for assistant coaches.
It's what happens, though. If you have success, you look at, you know, Richmond over recent years, Craig McRae's
Brett Ratton.
Now gone to Brett Hawthorn. Ratton, you've got Ben Rutten at Essendon. Blake Carosella was at Richmond for a time. So they want to pinch them from the clubs that have had success, don't they?
Where do you think Carlton should be on the ladder, Richo? How many wins do you think they should have?
Based on what he thought going into the year or based on the year?
Yeah, based on what you thought going in or based on what the talent they've got.
I thought their best result would have been 7th or 8th and their worst, you know, maybe 10, 11, 12. But they should have had more than 4 wins at this stage. At worst, probably 6 or 7 wins, I reckon, at this stage of the year. With still the ability then to be challenging for finals. So they're definitely 2 or 3 wins off as a minimum from where they should be.
Look at him. He's on the phone now. He's still on the phone. Come on, spill the beans. What's happened at Windy Hill or at Tullamarine, I should say?
You have been listening to my phone call. I've not told you anything about Windy Hill.
I can see it.
Get away from my phone.
What has happened there? Is it news or not news?
I don't know if this is a story or not. And you're hitting me up live on air and I don't really like it. All right. Well, this one from Track Watchers, but Track Watchers has an uncanny ability of being right all the time.
It's what happens when they're at the track.
Hawthorn were playing Essendon in the VFL on Sunday.
Yep.
And a couple of noteworthy onlookers saw that a couple of people down watching at the sidelines had to be escorted out before the game because of COVID protocols. You know, can't have people behind
closed
doors.
So you couldn't have any support.
That's right, yeah. Yep. These guys were doing nothing wrong. They just, excuse me, sir, you're going to have to leave. One of them just happened to be one of the greatest players the club has ever seen and coached the club, albeit in controversial circumstances, and his son was playing, and it was James Heard. And I think a few people were taken back that
he was escorted from the ground
and asked to leave. By the way, a few of those people, I'm told, including James Heard, actually then had to find themselves through a looking sort of glass in the car park outside of the fence, just so he could see his son play. I mean, the poor bloke.
This is the unbelievable ramifications of COVID and the bubbles that the AFL players have had to be in. I mean, he's, you know, arguably, I think, was he named the greatest Essendon player when they did their top 100 players a while ago? Anyway, he's the best one I've ever seen play for Essendon, but he's been escorted out and all he was doing is watching his son play.
Yeah,
you're going back page with that tomorrow?
These are the inconsistencies that we sort of are facing at the moment, isn't it? You can go and stand in the park with 100 other people with your dog, but you can't go and watch your son play footy.
Anyway, thanks, Jared. You know, I was just trying to do a little bit more work on that one, and maybe
you've given the age too many. We needed one here for Sports Day.
Lawrence, can you find me a different room that actually is soundproof in future?
You've got to get that mirror away from the back. Richo, Tassie has been big this week.
Yes.
I've got no doubt that Gold Coast and Tassie are completely and utterly independent of each other. There is no way known that the AFL is going to walk away
None
from Tassie.
Zero.
Sorry, from the
Queensland.
Gold Coast.
Yeah.
And I don't know too many people who don't think that Tassie deserve their own team. The issue is, how is it done?
Yeah, well, I think it's a new licence. It's not going to be the Gold Coast. They're not going to pack up shop and give Tasmania the Gold Coast licence that I think a few people have been talking about the last
few
days.
That will never happen.
No, 100% it won't happen. But I think the last few days, I think Tassie's got a little bit of momentum. It's back in the news. It was a fantastic atmosphere on Sunday. Tasmanians are passionate about their footy, their grassroots football followers. And then I get a lot of people coming back to me over the last few days because it's been on Twitter and everyone's talking about it. Oh, they won't support a new Tassie team. Those Essendon fans that were there Sunday, they're not going to support a new Tasmanian team. Well, I think they would. I think, yeah, they'll still support Essendon, but I think they'll jump on. And over time, as new generations and kids come through, they'll actually just start barracking for the Tasmanian team.
It's tough when you see such poor crowds at the North Melbourne games, though, Richo. I know North aren't going well, but to be honest, Jared, North Gold Coast again this weekend.
But, Scoop, in all due respect to the GWS Giants and North Melbourne, they just have never had a lot of supporters in North Melbourne, and the Giants would have.
Do you think North should abandon the experiment?
I just don't think it's poor
for their brand.
It's not good for them when no one's turning up to watch them, and it's meant to be their home game.
It's not good for the players.
And let's be honest, there would be very minimal GWS Giants supporters in Tasmania.
There'd be none.
Because they're rusted on. You know, they're second, third generation Essendon, Richmond, Collingwood fans down there. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be Giants fans.
We go down to Tassie Scoop, as you well know. Give us a call, folks, on
they'll
the Harcourt's open
team,
line.
Jared,
13
I'll 13
32. If you're one of those Bomber supporters that turned up, would you swing on to the Tassie
Tigers? Would you financially support
the Tassie Devils?
Well, we don't know what the name of them is yet.
I think the senior coaches are all about to have a phone hookup. Stewie Jew's holding off the other 17 coaches so that he can speak to us. He's going to chat to us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're powered by Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer, and the Kia Sorento. It is Drive Car of the Year. Jared, the Gold Coast Suns, as you put on the agenda on Monday night, they find themselves, for not the first time in the club's history, but in different contexts, in a pretty tough position, particularly on field performance at the moment.
Yeah, I think everybody's disappointed. I think everybody is really keen to see both Stewart Jew and the Suns have some success, and the season started off in pretty good fashion. And sadly, they lost Jared Witch, which doesn't help, but you can't throw up injuries as an excuse. No coach is ever going to try, even if they are legitimate. But it was more the lack of effort on the weekend that I reckon would have upset our guest, Stewart Jew. He joins us on the weekend. Stewart, welcome aboard.
Thanks for having me.
It's the same cycle each and every time. You can be gutted on a Monday, on a Saturday, or a Sunday, or a Monday morning, and then by midweek, you get that resolve back, and all of a sudden, in the excitement of a potential victory ahead, where are you in that spectrum as we speak?
Oh no, there's no doubt. Some losses hang around and smell for a little bit longer, but we had our main session today. We set the week up really well through our review. And then I guess we're all energised, and myself in particular, with the way the players attacked the main session today. So I guess we're right in the thick of that, I guess, the excitement and the anticipation of the upcoming game.
Is there still room, Stewart, for like a serious hit out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Because I've always believed that players, after a really bad performance, and we've all played in them, in fact, I played in more than I'd like to admit. They want to expunge the demons. They want to give themselves a little bit of pain, a little bit of self-flagellation to start themselves psychologically.
Yeah, no, it's good for the soul. Tuesday's probably a bit early, but Wednesday, you know, we always have a contest element. I guess we maintain our effort around that area, but one thing we did different today was, you know, generally if you do a few 1v1s, 2v2, is they're all off in separate areas. But we did it today and did it one at a time, so everyone got to watch and feed off that energy, and it had a really good feel to it. So I guess that was the part for me that, you know, them seeing other guys competing hard as opposed to, okay, go off and do our bits in our areas and then come back together unaware of what the others and the work they're putting in, took a little bit of a longer time, but I think the result was exactly what we're after in terms of guys seeing others get to work.
Hey, Dewey, is there a bit of a reluctance these days to do those physical type sessions with the, I guess, the injury risk that you can have at training? The last thing you want is guys getting injured at training. Is there a bit of reluctance to do that sort of training these days?
Yeah, Richo, waivers. You know, and sometimes it's how's your whole of club availability and which players are available. And I guess, you know, we've got three of our leadership group out. So I think the easy ones to go, well, geez, we can't lose Tuukka Nillar. But then on the flip side, the example he sets. So I can't say it's never there, but there's always that feeling that, and particularly with the concussion one now, if someone gets a head knock at training, then, you know, they're out for a couple of weeks minimum. But in the end, we're always weighing up the cost benefit. And obviously most of the time we lean towards, no, we need this to get ourselves physically and mentally in the right space.
How did you deal with what was a really poor performance, and how did the players offer any excuse or any explanation? I mean, everybody would have out in that ground thought they were trying, but then they would have had a look at the vision and been highly embarrassed, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, and everyone wants to know what the, not everyone, but people would like to know what the review is, and I guess it was based around reality, and we talked about when the pressure comes, are we absorbing pressure and putting pressure back on the opposition, or are we passing it on to teammates? And particularly early, there was a lot of instances and evidence around guys passing that pressure, not absorbing, passing it to the next guy, and then the flow and effect from that, you know, across the course of a game causes that loss of confidence. So, you know, we obviously, there was a couple of instances of guys being able to absorb that pressure and what it looks like, and we put it mainly on, I guess, there was Will Power, there was a couple of clear examples where he really absorb that pressure, Tuukka Nillar, and then even going back to other games when we've played consistently well, showing just the gap. And I guess the last time we're in that position was after the Bulldogs game, and we showed the real gap between making sure they know exactly what it looks like at both ends of the spectrum and getting as close as we can to the positive.
Hey, Stuart, I reckon the club as a whole has done a really good job in trying to explain to the outside world how this club is going to get better and where it's been. And we all know the context in which the list was overhauled in your first couple of years at the club. But another season where you've been really disappointing on the field in too many of your games. You're 4-9. At what point do you start questioning which direction this club and this team is going?
Well, I don't question it right at this minute. And obviously, look, if we'd won two more games, I don't think any of us would be having this kind of dialogue, but that's an if. But I think where we went about the deliberate reset, we obviously knew there was a couple of strong drafts. We've tried to top up with some middle bracket players. And then there's been some players we would have liked to a couple more, but then we've obviously trying to balance our salary cap with dealing with some from the past, but then also planning for the future so that we don't get ourselves into a bind. And I think, you know, guys that like a Greenwood and Ellis have come in and had a positive impact, you know, importantly off the field as well. So again, as part of this plan going forward, we certainly think our young department is well stocked, and then we need to continue to build that middle to senior band. And that's what we'll be looking forward to, obviously, in the back half of this year, moving forward to next year.
So, Stuart, I'm just making an educated guess here, but I would have thought that you would have been thinking as a club that this year would have been knocking on the door. Now, whether that's finals or whether that's contending for finals or however you want to put it, and then next year would be that, okay, we're right to go. Do you still think you tell me if that's right or wrong, but do you still think you're on that trajectory?
I think, I mean, long story short, yes, we would have loved to have been knocking on the door. And like I said, if we had, obviously, a big hole has been, and Jared alluded to it, we're not going to talk, but Whitsy has really stunted our clearance game. You know, I think we've really been stung there in terms of our clearance numbers. We were third before he went down, and obviously, you know, we're sitting at 15th at the minute. So we're trying to manage that. and obviously get that to a level. Our turnover game, you know, we're really strong in the turnovers against, our ability to be able to absorb some pressure, but then we haven't been able to make opposition pay. And I think, you know, our area for improvement is clearly through that clearance game, but then also on offense. But as most coaches would say, the offense comes on the back of contest, and that's what's been the fluctuating part, and that's what we're, I guess, continuing to train. So as Richo's point, when we've heard on the side of, gee, is it a risk to train contested ball? Well, we've never said, no, we're not doing it.
Joey, you've been up there for a few years now, and you've been able to really look at the environment on the Gold Coast, and people love to bring up the fact that a lot of sporting franchises haven't worked on the Gold Coast. You've been able to sit back now and look at that. Is there anything in that at all? Is there anything in the lifestyle up there that, you know, during the week it just takes a bit of edge off you? Is there anything in that that makes it hard to develop that real winning culture at all?
I can hand on heart, Richo. I can't subscribe to that at all. I don't think that isn't a reason. And obviously through the years, I think we'll see that it's not. And beyond my time as well.
Can I ask you whether the system works against you, Stewie, in that the AFL Players Association won't allow the AFL to extend the mandatory period in which a draftee has to stay at a club? So therefore, you're continuously drafting kids from outside of southern Queensland. You've had a couple of homegrowners, but not many. You've got the top enders, and then you probably end up having to pay overs to keep them initially, which then compromises your ability to get senior players. Do you think, and take yourself out of it, but do you think in 4 or 5 years' time that needs to change, or does it need to change now?
And having spent time in Sydney, I would say it would be of help to teams outside of Victoria or non-football states. Yep. So the northern, obviously New South Wales and Queensland, I think it would be of help. Most teams now, with the, you know, if you got a first round draft pick, particularly a top 10, most of those players are paid on potential and not output. So I think that's real around the league, but it's a little bit heightened in the northern states, obviously. Mm. So, you know, I think that would be of assistance in terms of balancing that salary cap in the early days. And then also then does that give you some more levers to bring in some senior players? But like I said, in terms of our plan, we've pinpointed those drafts where we think we've got the bulk of that young group. Now it's about filling our gaps.
Stewie, I know you're time restrained, but I just wanted to ask you about what's happened with Josh Franco. It says in the statement here that his desire to relocate to Adelaide was for family reasons, but I think it would be remiss of this show not to address the murmurings of a breakdown in relationship between you and your former premiership teammate. Is there anything to that?
No, there's not. And there's family reasons, and it's not my story to tell. Yep. So I think that needs to be respected. And the only instance where there was a misunderstanding was that Josh had told us, and when I say us, the key stakeholders at the footy club, and then the real estate agent had advertised that on Instagram where we made the call. We said, mate, just so you know, it's out there. And then he was like, geez, I didn't know that. I'll sort it. It's off. And then obviously we had to tell the people because once that was out there. But, you know, we would like Josh to stay, but I respect that decision. His son's been boarding in Adelaide since the start of the year, so we knew that this was on the cards. It's not a surprise. He's got two other boys to follow, so that's essentially it. You know, I've known him for 20 years, 30 years, and I'll be close to him for the next 20.
Okay, good to address that. Stewie, thanks so much for coming on. Good luck on Saturday down in Tassie against the North Melbourne Footy Club.
Thank you.
Stewie, coach of the Gold Coast Suns. More Sports Day with Richo, including Yes No Richo, coming up after this. Well, welcome back to Sports Day. A quick teams update. That's for Ty Power. Brisbane v Geelong. It's third v fourth. It's an absolute ripper. In for the Lions. Zorko out. Really? Reece Matheson's been dropped? Jared?
The barometer.
Well, that's good for one of the midfielders at Geelong who won't be tagged by the barometer.
It's bad for the barometer. Tom Berry, the Medi sub, out. Geelong in. Lockie Henderson's passed that fitness test. Out. Mitch Duncan. What did Chris Scott say he'd be out for? 10 to 12. Oh, that's nasty. Yeah. Quinton Narkle.
He's a big out.
Quinton Narkle has been dropped. What more do you and Richo want to see from Quinton Narkle?
So you've got Mitch Duncan and Quinton Narkle out.
Mm.
And Henderson in. That doesn't... Stand by for a late change for Geelong.
Not another
yeah,
one.
Yeah, but Narkle can be the sub.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could be out but still be the sub.
Why is Quinton Narkle not the player that we thought he would be right now, Richo? What does he
well,
need
he
to do
Well, he was a month
more?
Ago.
Yeah. He inconsistent?
Was. Well, I think he was playing well and then he got dropped because they had to get, you know, players back into the team, Dangerfield.
Yeah, but
then...
he's got enough talent not to get dropped just because Geelong have a good team, right?
Mm.
If he he's got enough talent to be in that I side of his own right.
He might be elsewhere in the next 12 months.
Do you think so?
Well, if he's not going to get opportunity, surely his management are going to want him to play senior footy. He'd be playing senior footy at most other teams right now.
Do you want to give us just a very, very quick five-second taste into Yes, No, Richo?
No.
Okay. Yes, No, Richo is coming up at first time for this.
Yes, No, Richo for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being here.
Well, it's the segment that everyone listens to Sports Day all week for. It's become so big, it's got its own stinger. We don't just discuss footy here. We don't just discuss sport. We discuss all walks of life. It's Yes, No, Richo. Here's Jared.
I just write the questions. Richo, hand on heart, everyone in the front office, including the CEO at Carlton, should be worried, yes or no?
Yes.
The Gold Coast Suns won out of Tony Cochrane's passionate defence of his club on Monday night, yes or no?
Yes.
Tasmania will have a team by 2022.
No.
23.
No.
24.
No.
25.
No.
26.
Yes.
The AFL won't walk away from the Gold Coast this year or any year, yes or no?
Yes.
The AFL can make a 19-team competition work.
Yes.
North Melbourne should not play footy in Tasmania again, yes or no, after 2021?
Yes.
Melbourne, next week, should keep Wiedemann in the team, yes or no?
Yes.
Melbourne should keep Brown in the reserves, yes or no?
This week you're talking about?
Yes, this week.
Yes.
It was a disastrous decision by the AFL tribunal not to suspend Joel Selwood, yes or no?
No.
Lee Matthews said David Teague should walk away after Carlton instituted an external review. Is he right?
No.
No, did he? I just don't want to misquote the great man, Jared. I think he said he would have.
He would have walked away.
Just being extra careful because
it's Lee Matthews said that if he was in David Teague's position, he would walk away after Carlton instituted an external review. Was he right, yes or no?
No. Geez, I don't like disagreeing with Lee, but...
He also said to drop fines, either suspend them or let them off, yes or no, because fines don't work.
I agree, yes.
Just yes or no, thanks.
Yes.
The Swans won't make the eight.
No.
So they won't make the eight, so they will.
I think they will.
Double negative.
I think they'll just scrape in.
You've actually schooled me on that. I'm not allowed to do double negatives.
I've tried. Right, we're getting there.
Okay, we'll get there. Nick Hynde has had a better year than Adam Saad, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
Jake Stringer should be given a 5-year deal, yes or no?
No.
4 years?
No.
Three?
No.
Gee, harsh. Two?
Yes. I think he needs to be on edge, Jake.
Chris Newman will one day be a senior coach.
Yes.
Hawthorn would be filthy if Carlton take Chris Newman on the back of Andrew Russell, Brendan Bolton, Tara Kavanagh.
Yes.
Tara Kavanagh's got a good run tonight.
Yes.
I don't even know who Tara Kavanagh is.
Very good psychologist in my reports.
Thank you.
She'd have a fair bit of work down there at the Blues at the present time.
Tara. Oh, geez.
Tomorrow night's game will determine premiership favouritism.
No.
Melbourne are still premiership favourites.
Yes.
Have you got a few more there, Jared?
Is Harry Jones the best of Dodoro's picks? Yes or no?
Ooh, gee, they're good.
Hang on, Jared. No. Save your best ones because we've got to go. We're going to come back. Second edition, yes, no. You got some political ones stored up?
Not tonight.
Well, there's one there.
Yes, no, Richo continues after this.
A show question.
Matthew Richardson for McDonald's. The new McCafe blend. Coffee fit for an Aussie.
Welcome back to Sports. It's just dawned on me after this many weeks, Jared. He's got two sponsors, Richo. Is he's so good. He's got two stingers. Aren't they? Well, you got these segments are sponsored. Unbelievable
stuff.
I'm not
saying any sponsorship out of it.
No, Richo, you've seen a fair bit over
before we were rudely interrupted, you just told us that Melbourne are still the premiership favourites.
Yes.
And I asked you whether Harry Jones is the best of Smiling Dodoro's picks.
This is tough.
Hasn't he got a smile on his face at the moment with the chest pumped out at the present time?
Well, Adrian. Is 101 back up and pumping?
Yeah, up and about.
Nice. Harry Jones, 5 contested marks on the weekend.
Is he the best of Smiling Dodoro's picks?
Not yet.
He used to do that in a quarter.
Nick Cox.
No.
Archie.
No.
Who is it?
Sam Draper.
I like Big Draper.
Oh!
He Draper. Has got Hang real on. Presence, Big Draper.
Okay.
Been around for a
he's
while.
He's a 200 game. No, he's played 11 games.
Yeah, it's
he's a 200 game year. Ruckman.
He's a 200 game ruckman, yep. You're calling.
I'm calling it now.
Toby Green should have been suspended, yes or no?
No.
Has Leon Cameron become a better coach in 2021?
Yes.
Ooh. Has Leon Cameron justified an extension to his contract in 2022?
Yes.
Another one.
Jacob Hopper has taken his game to a new level in 2021. Josh Kelly has been in sensational form for the last 2 months.
Yes.
Both have yet to commit to the Giants for 2022. They are in crisis if they both leave.
Ooh, yes.
The Carlton players need to back up the words this week, and they were plentiful on the field, to take the heat off David Teague.
Yes.
David Teague will be the last caretaker coach appointed.
Gee, good question.
Yes.
No more caretakers, says Richo.
I just think it can over cracks.
Richo.
Hope Rob Harvey's not listening.
If you were coach next year and were offered the Collingwood, Carlton and Gold Coast list to take to Tassie to be the inaugural Tassie Hobartians, you would choose Collingwood's list.
No.
Carlton's list.
No.
Gold Coast list.
Yes.
Hang on. You're saying that Gold Coast have a better list than Carlton?
If I'm taking kids that I think can be better, yes. I think they've got better kids than Carlton at this moment. Mm. Carlton have got better top end.
Goodness gracious.
This is a start-up team. Listen to the question, Sam.
Oh, I was listening, Matthew.
All right.
New draftees should be committed contractually for 4 years. Not the current two, yes or no?
Yes.
The AFL should take on the Players Association to get this done.
Yes.
Isaac Heaney needs to lift for the Swans to make the finals.
Yes.
Buddy should play next year.
Yes.
Sean Burgoyne will retire after his 400th game, yes or no?
Yes.
Political question.
On 400? At exactly 400 he'll retire?
I think
that
he
was
might.
The question.
That was the question. Okay, fair enough.
Political. Launceston is the AFL capital of Tasmania, yes or no?
Well, you're asking the wrong person.
It's Launceston is the AFL. It is.
The north of Tasmania.
It's hard for a Devonportian to say that.
Northwest coaster.
Is that what you are, Devonportian?
At Northwest Coaster, I am.
The Hobartians should be based in Hobart, yes or no?
Yes, but play games in Launceston as well.
Okay. Gee, the Northwest won't be happy, okay. Jerry.
Might even get a game at Penguin too.
Ben Simmons has a responsibility to play for the Boomers, yes or no?
Yes.
The A-League, whose final is on this week, has lost all visibility during the pandemic, sadly.
Yes.
The World Test Cricket Championship should be at Lord's.
Yes.
Not the Rose Bowl in Southampton.
Yes.
At the end of their careers, Joe Danaher will be a better player than Hattie McKay. Yes or no?
No.
Ooh. Ooh.
Carlton go to Harry too often at present.
Yes.
Sam Walsh will be tagged by Adelaide this week.
Yes.
De Boer, who tagged Sam Walsh last week, should have been targeted by the Blues.
Yes.
Barnaby Joyce is the greatest resurrection story for 2,000 years.
It's pretty good.
2,000?
Lazarus Joyce.
Since Christ himself.
Lazarus Joyce.
Extraordinary. Ross Lyon will coach in 2022.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Really? That's big from the Cho.
That is big from the Cho. Where is the Cho's question here? I've got one there for the Cho. Here it is. Brett Sutton. Brett Sutton's do as I say, not as I do approach to going to Canberra last week would not survive at Richmond.
Yes.
It was a disastrous misread of the play, yes or no?
Yes.
Ross Lyon will coach in 2022.
Yes.
The Chris Newman story has one scooper Prieve on Classified tonight? Yes or no?
He's back on.
The best defender in the game is Stephen May.
No.
Jake Lever.
No.
Harris Andrews.
No.
Tom Stewart.
Yes.
Good night, Richo.
Thanks, Richo. You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021. That is Red Energy, and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Big hour coming up, Jared. We're going to speak to young Harry Jones.
Well, let's hope
Harrison Jones.
Let's hope Harry can hear us.
Oh, very good. Is that the second time in two weeks you've
been
with
Harry Harris.
Mackay?
Yeah.
Yeah, and decided to back over that. We're going to touch base as well with Ashley Brown and replay our very interesting chat with Stewie Jew. He's under the pump, the Gold Coast Suns.
Yep.
The club is under the pump, not just him. But he had some interesting stuff to say about where that and about that and where his future lies.
Yeah,
just
on the back of that, I didn't ask you earlier. Do you think he'll be there next year?
I think it's a big 9 weeks for him.
Yeah, it probably depends on who else is available. It probably depends on how they go the next 2 weeks, 2 months.
Yeah.
At this stage.
There's some good names available.
Yeah.
Right.
Like
now.
If there was a more likely to be or more likely not to be question, what would you go with?
Oh, geez. I reckon he's right on the scales. I reckon it's 50-50.
Yes. Okay. I think you're being positive. Let's move on to Ash Brown, who joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Ash.
Good evening, boys. Good to be with you again.
When you do these interviews via Zoom, is it correct to say Ash is on the line, or do we actually go with something else, like Ash is on the Zoom?
I think on the line still works for the punters, don't you think?
I'm not sure. I'll just have to ask them, because if it wobbles a bit or Robbo sort of cuts in, then at least if we declare you're on the Zoom, people will understand the problems.
Well, it sounds the Zoom sounds better than the line, as they call it, but I think we'll just go with convention.
You've been asking the hard-hitting questions tonight, Jim.
I have. Well, I've got one for you. Tony Cochran was on the couch on Monday night. I've done my market research. Was he good or was he not good for the club in his passionate defence of the club?
Ooh. I think for a club like Gold Coast, any time you've got Tony Cochran speaking as he did on your show, that is good for the Suns, because I don't have enough. They don't have that sort of past player network through the media that can sometimes do the spread the message for the club, as happens at so many clubs. And as a guy, say, like David King does for North Melbourne. So I think getting him on, it was really good TV. It was so well done to you guys.
I actually, my market research is almost 100%. For Tony Cochran, that his PR for the club was a big, big win, that he came out without belittling anybody. He came out passionately defending his club. He came out with some strength. And a lot of people who I just asked that simple question, just all were one way, positive.
Yeah, when you look at the Suns, who are their high-profile people in the media with them? There's Campbell Brown, and really he was just there for a couple of years at the end after, you know, Hawthorn's his club. Gary Ablett, well, he doesn't do any media. I mean, who else is there? Who else?
I don't
is
think
there
they've got one at the moment.
Speak up on behalf of the club.
I don't think anybody's had such a positive enough experience to be sort of a cheerleader for the club, or even a step back from cheerleader, but talk about the big picture. But I've got no question. I mean, this nonsense about trading one licence for another, I think, is nonsense, because the AFL aren't going to walk away from a groundswell of junior activity on the northern beaches of New South Wales and southeast Queensland, the biggest growth corridor in the country, because the Suns have not quite lived up to expectation in their 11th year.
Jared, who's the Gold Coast Suns' best player right now? I'm not just saying purely on form, but who would you name
probably,
their number one player?
Matthew Rowell is probably their number one player. I think probably...
So, I mean, that's amazing, really. A guy's played five games.
Well, not really. He's a number one draft pick. So, I mean, he was an extraordinary showing in his first 3 weeks.
Yeah, but he hasn't even played double-figure games yet.
No, but we've at least seen him.
Who's their second best player?
I think the...
Tuukka Miller?
Oh, there's no doubt Tuukka Miller on performance is their best player, but Matty Rowell you would hope would go past Tuukka Miller, but Tuukka Miller is their best performing player. I think Ben King is probably their third best player. I think he's really come along. I enjoy what he's doing. I think
so. He's also a kid.
He's very much a kid.
Yeah,
and you know he hasn't dominated by any stretch of the imagination.
And then you're hoping for guys
their fullback is a very good player.
Collins. Yep.
But other than that.
And then you're hoping for Rankin and Lukosius and these guys coming through.
Yep. I don't think, well.
I guess the question I'm asking, I don't think they've got
an A grader.
Yeah. So more broadly, the question I'm asking you is, do you think they've built the right list?
I think it's a list what's the right word? It's a developing list. I think it's a great list to get hold of, Ashley. And I think if you could keep everybody on that list and you could add to that for 2 or 3 years, you're going to have a hell of a footy team.
Yeah, we wrote that. That was a piece we wrote in last week's record.
I'm actually quoting, they know
if they can keep it together, they'll be fine. They know that they've just got against that 60 to 80 games. They've got to get them all, as many of them together to that 60 to 80 game stage, and they think they'll be okay. But that's, you know, performance like the last 2 weeks don't help, and they're very disappointing. But there's no existential threat to the Gold Coast Suns Football Club, none whatsoever. That's just cloud cuckoo land.
Yeah, I agree with that. Channel 10, they've got the soccer deal. What's that mean for the next AFL TV rights?
Well, it's interesting whether what it will do if the AFL wants a competitive tension around the bid in 2024, the end of that season, the rights are up for grabs, are free to wear. There's a suggestion that the Paramount have bought a stake in the A-League now or in the FFA, one of those organisations, and that they, part of the deal is they won't bid for any of the big winter sports, being NRL and the AFL. So from the AFL's point of view, that takes out a bit of tension, competitive tension in the market when the rights come up. So I thought that
the AFL wanted on Channel 10
junkies. Of the AFL will take whoever, but AFL rule 101 for the AFL, Jerry, whoever pays the most money gets the rights. So they'd take Channel 10 if they lash out their biggest check.
They stream and they rhyme with Weet-Bix, Jared. I think that's where we're going. Ash Brown is the chief of the... did you get that yet?
Weet-Bix,
Netflix.
Netflix, okay. Work. All right. No, it's not bad. I was just trying to work out how Amazon rhymed with Weet-Bix.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with something that rhymed with Amazon, so I went with Netflix. Ash Brown is the chief of the AFL record. Ash, hang on there. When we come back, we're going to talk about Chris Scott's defence of Joel Selwood. And also the latest at the Blues, where you see that going with the review. More coming up with Ash on Sports Day. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for the Kia Sorento, Drive Car of the Year. And, of course, across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. They believe in great design, so you love being home. Hey, Ash, the Blues, the review's about to start. Things aren't going well on the field. And as Jared and I talked about in the first hour, they still need to prepare for life in 2022, and that is, you know, putting together a list of assistant coaches that could be there next year. Hard to do that when you're going through a review and you're not quite sure who's going to be the coach.
Yeah, it looks like now the way they're going that the review is going to include the senior coach, despite Mark Lagudice's remarks a couple of weeks ago. I don't think a complete examination of the football department can spare the coach. So you can't put together a team of assistant coaches without knowing who the coach is. The rule of thumb usually is a senior coach has a fair sway in who the assistant coaches are going to be.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing now they've got to work out, above all else, is who's going to be the coach next year, and the rest flows on from there.
But the problem with Ash, I said this to Jared, Ash, the problem with that is they can't be seen to making a decision on the coach when they've brought in a review of the football department. I mean, won't the review, Jared, decide the coach? Isn't that the whole point?
I think that's true. But they could also make a preliminary finding, Scoop.
Oh, I see.
I like a preliminary finding. I think we've had a couple of those.
A preliminary finding external of the external review.
Yes, I think. Well, that's the way the AFL worked it. Remember when they went through the preliminary findings of the investigation into Essendon because they didn't want Essendon to be playing finals. So they went bang.
No, so
here's the preliminary finding. You're out, Mick. Your Blues are in.
Usually the way the AFL does reviews is they get to the result first and then they work back.
I see. Nice little clip there from Scoop. Now, I've heard a number of people criticise Chris Scott's passionate display after the game. in the box.
Who criticised it?
Lots of people. I was asked on radio up in Ballarat this morning about that.
Where you're very big, by the way.
And I was very, very strong in my defence. I mean, if you can't show enthusiasm after a win after the siren, when can you throw in enthusiasm? And if you're that bloody-minded and you are that rigid in your approach to life, you should be working up, you should be living in the USSR or China.
Loved the post-match excitement from the coach. Yeah. I mean, what else would you want from your coach after a win like that? That last minute that Geelong played was a reflection of there was coaching as much as anything else. They were so well-drilled and they were able to move the ball in the manner that they did down the ground to set themselves up to win the game that a minute before that looked very unlikely. So he should have had every reason to be pleased and to show his excitement. But the other issue that is being thrown in with that was his remark, his defence this week of Joel Selwood. The two have become a bit muddied, I think. People are sort of lumping them all in together as in what a week it's been for Chris Scott. You know, and you can have issues with what he said in his defence of Joel Selwood, but you can no way criticise his carry on after the game. It was wonderful.
Did you have issues, Ash, with his defence of Joel Selwood?
I had no issues in defending Joel Selwood. I'm not quite sure his defence of the second of the two acts passes a sniff test entirely. I think it was just very, you know, a coach sticking up for his captain. And
Which was the second of the two acts?
Well, I think the clash with Taylor Duray and the leg scrape Duray. And I like the fact Duray came out and said, well, you know, it's... He's a coach; he can say that, but I don't think Duray was all that impressed with what Scott had to say.
I've got to say, I thought it was an accident. The second one, I saw it firsthand. I thought it was an accident, and I thought his defence of his captain Joel Selwood was not a defence of the action. It was a defence of him saying he put his hand up and said he got it wrong.
Yeah, and that if he said one was an accident, then he should be believed.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it.
I didn't have a problem with it at all. Hey, this is to you, Jared, as well. Now that it became big news today, I didn't really realise. I think they played it on 360 last night. Did you have a problem? Or not a problem. What did you make of Lee Matthews' comments about the football review, you know, and if he had been David Teague? And, you know, Jordan Lewis also weighed in on David Teague. What have you made of all that, Ash?
Yeah, I was saying before, I think it hasn't been a great few days for David Teague. And as I said, the tone of the discussion about Carlton has turned from, well, but yeah, they need to look at the football department there too, very much. Does it start with the coach? I mean, just people looked at that first quarter against the Giants on the weekend, Sam, and would have thought, well, that's the coach. Surely the message of Carlton was to come out and start hard and to play some sort of pressure football, given the week they'd been through. But they were so insipid early on. You have to ask questions of the coach. And I thought that was Jordan Lewis made that fairly clear on Fox Footy after that game, I think he said, or maybe said it on radio, I'm not sure. And Lee Matthews, I think, again, his wasn't so much a criticism of the coach, but just very clear remarks that if I'm being reviewed, then I'm going to say, see you later. Maybe Lee Matthews can get away with saying that when he's being reviewed. Maybe it's different for a coach like David Teague.
What do you think about that, Jared, now that you've had a night to sleep on it?
Well, I must admit, when Lee asked Wolsey the question, I assumed that he was going to come down with that answer, and that's why I recalibrated with him. And I'm a little bit conflicted because I think it clearly is a much wider review than just David Teague, but David Teague is one of the frontal pieces of this whole review. I think what's going on is that the board don't really trust the footy department. That's the way it appears to me.
I agree.
That they're seeing what's happening at list management. They're seeing what's happening with senior recruits coming in from opposition clubs and not performing and getting ridiculous amounts of money. They're being sold a dream of where they should be, and the dream keeps turning into a nightmare. So David Teague isn't the only one under review, and I'd be surprised if everybody in that football department, from the CEO down, not just the footy manager, from the CEO down, is not under serious review. And they should all be nervous because their performance, from a football perspective, has been nothing short of abysmal. So I can understand where Lee is coming from. And if I'm David Teague, I'm probably feeling as if I'm in trouble. And Lee, maybe he didn't say he should walk directly, but he may say at the end of this year he may just put his hand up and bail out. But Damien Hardwick was reviewed and he stayed, but that was an internal review. It wasn't the external review that Lee Matthews is talking about.
No, it was external. They got a guy from PwC, I think.
I thought Brendan Craig, Gale did it.
Yeah, no, he did it with Craig Matthews, I think his name is, a PwC guy. Yeah. I stand corrected there. We'll look into it. Ash, as we let you go, Jared's been talking a lot, particularly in Yes No Richo, about shut buttons. We've got 50% capacities up to 25,000. I'm not sure that'll affect the crowd at Hawthorne GWS at the G on Sunday.
I would say it's a GWS home game as well, so Hawthorne members have to pay to go. So I'm going the about 8,000 to 10,000 at that game. I don't think there'll be too much worry getting a seat, and we'll all be able to social distance very comfortably if we choose to go to that.
In fact, Jared, we should have a nearest the pin
on crowds
for Hawthorne GWS and Carlton Adelaide at Marvel. Which one gets the worst crowd?
Well, what about Suns and North Melbourne down in Tassie?
No, that's already below both of them.
That's actually one hand. It could be less than one hand.
They had more watching the VFL game at Windy Hill on Sunday, I think.
I think there'll be less people at the... Where's the Adelaide Carlton go?
Marvel.
Oh, is it? I thought it was over there. Yes, it's going to be interesting. I'm going to go with Hawthorne and Giants.
Lower crowd?
Yes, because I think there'll be about 3,000 or 4,000 travelling Adelaideans. They have a good travelling crowd.
I don't think they're allowed here, are they?
Of course they are.
Oh, they are. Yeah, sorry.
One final question. Seeing as Scoop brought up Push Button Sutton's name, and this is a yes-no question, yes-no with Richo question, and it's related to football because I made it relate to football.
Ask the question, please.
Brett Sutton's do as I say, not as I do approach last week when he left everybody in Melbourne to go up and celebrate with his chos in Canberra would not survive scrutiny at a football club. Yes or no?
Would not survive scrutiny at a football club.
Yes, there's a yes. A very passionate yes.
I think Gillen would have had to have resigned the next day, wouldn't he?
I'd have to have.
Can you imagine?
Oh, imagine
the AFL media piling onto Gillen if he'd gone home to South Australia to see some of his swanky polo friends and have a beer with them and then rush back to lockdown here.
And then get on the line and say, oh, well, you can't celebrate
funerals
down the Zoom line. Yeah. You've got to be there in person after he stopped people from going to their parents'. Oh, mate, please.
Ash, we digress, as we often do with you.
We have digressed.
Yeah. Great chatting. We'll chat next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, boys.
Ash Brown there, chief.
You didn't
of
ask him what was in the record.
AFL record.
You still with us, Ash?
Yeah.
What's in the record that we need to have a look at?
We've end of financial year stock take for every club. The Bulls and the Bears and the All Ordinary.
Right. The old stock take. I like it.
Ash Brown laughing at a bit of his own work there. Harry Jones is the round 14 rising star. He's going to join us next.
Welcome back to Sports Day. It's powered by Red Energy, awarded Canstar's most trusted energy retailer nationally for 2021, and Kia Sorento, drive car of the year. Harrison Jones joins us on the line as the rising star for round 15, Scoop, or 14?
Round 14.
Round 14. He joins us on the line. Welcome to you, Harrison.
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us. Do we call you Harrison or Harry?
Probably Harry. Yep. Harry, I think.
Everyone call you Harry or Jonesy?
At the club, it's Jonesy.
Yeah.
And then sort of at home, it's Harrison when I'm in trouble, and then just Harry normally.
And what do they call you out in the ground, the mongrel dogs on the opposition, when you're tearing them apart like you did on the weekend?
Nah, not much. Just keep quiet out there. Yeah. I get much.
Are you a verbal player or are you just a sort of pretty respectful, low-key sort of guy?
I think I'm pretty low-key out there.
Yeah.
Get around my teammates a little bit.
Yeah.
I like doing that, but I'm pretty good with the chat.
I like it. So you're going to get even chattier as you get older and you start taking those hangers on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. Kick some more goals, maybe. See what happens.
Yeah, that's true. How'd you miss that one from straight in front?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I've watched it about 300 times, I reckon. I can't believe I missed it. Still can't believe I missed it.
So you must have come up with a reason, though. You didn't pick something at the back. You just aimed at the space rather than pinpointing something because you've got a pretty good technique.
Well, yeah, normally they go straight through. I don't think I followed my routine.
Yep.
Just sort of, yeah, I stabbed that a little bit.
What's your routine?
I'll keep just like certain words. Just keep, when I kick it, just make sure I'm following through.
Yep.
And yeah, but it's pretty simple. And I don't know. I generally don't know how I missed it.
Do you actually look back and analyze your technique? Do you know it well enough to know how far you translate through the ball, how far your support leg should translate through the air and land?
Yeah, I did a lot last year with the forwards coach, Dan Jordan, through it. And then sort of, it's just about, like I said before, just having simple little sort of little steps in there that I can follow that no matter where I am on the ground, like what time it is, it's just stick to those and then hopefully kick it.
Was it the best win of the year for you?
It was up there. It was a great win. The West Coast win was pretty good as well, I think.
Harry, well done. Well done on the nomination, mate. Jared, just back on routine. Isn't routine a fascinating thing in sport? Like, if you think about it, routine should be one of those things that, like, you never, it never changes. But in the heat of the moment, how many people? I'm not just talking about footy here. Basketball at the free throw line. Look at Ben Simmons on the weekend. Golfers when they're putting, a lot would fail, I assume, Jared, because something in their routine didn't go as it usually would have. And I assume that's down to pressure or change of scenery or a mixture of both.
Yeah, I think it's a combination of everything. But like, it's okay to have a routine, but you've got to have a good technique to back up the routine.
Yeah, okay.
And without technique, your routine can be rooted. So
not bad.
I think
Harry liked it too.
Yeah, like you can run with that, Harry.
Not a bad one.
Yeah, you can run with that. I mean, ultimately, you need to have good technique. And what I see when people fall apart, they haven't got a technique they can rely upon.
Right, okay.
And if you can't actually, if you don't actually understand what you're trying to do, then you can have whatever routine you like, but you're still basically waiting or hoping.
So Lordy's,
rather than expecting.
Lordy's routine worked beautifully because his technique was sound.
Sound technique, sound routine. I mean, he kicked through the ball. He had everything square to the target, had momentum. He followed through. He had a good ball drop, all of those things, Harry. And I look at you and I think to myself, well, you've got pretty much all of those things covered. Probably the moment may have got to you and you rushed a little bit, but I think you understand what you're trying to achieve. And that is very much the starting point.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Like I said before, I think it was just, I don't know, it might have been the moment.
Yep.
I don't know, like I said, might have rushed a little bit, but yeah.
Who taught you how to kick, Harry? Who taught you skills?
Oh, probably Dad. He'd be the main one.
You the same, Jared? Who taught you how to kick?
Kicking the footy?
Probably initially my dad.
Yeah.
But and I think most kids teach themselves how to kick just through repetition, and this is one of the problems. I mean, if you go to world sports like golf and tennis, you've got technical coaches who at 8, 10, 9, 10, they impart proper technique, not dad in the backyard technique.
Yeah.
Because dad in the backyard, and take this as it's meant, Harrison, I'm not having a crack at your dad, but dads get teach what they were taught.
That's right.
If they weren't taught properly, well, then it flows through. And eventually you can, if you don't run into the right technical coach early in the piece, you can be struggling with this for the next 30 years of your life.
And I guess some guys and girls make up for poor technique with really good hand-eye, but only to a certain extent.
Yeah, well, you'd say Greg Norman had great hand-eye.
Yep.
But, you know, his technique failed him under the unbelievable heat of battle just as much as anybody. But anyway, we're digressing too much on you didn't know you were coming on here to talk about technique, did you, Harry?
Well, I was talking about golf.
Are you a golfer?
Nah. No good. Cricketer.
You're a cricketer.
He would have been a big fast bowler steaming in from the southern end, I would have thought.
Nah, just medium pace. I put it on the spot.
Yeah. Who's your favourite teammate?
Teammate. Tough one. Jackie Stringer's fun to play with when we're out there.
Yeah, how many years would you sign him up for?
Right, as long as I'm there? Yeah. Nah.
Just give him a 10-year deal. Give him the buddy deal.
10-year deal. Nah. Well, I don't know. As possible, I guess. Yeah, he's awesome to play with.
Yeah.
Will Snelling when he's in.
Yeah, he's going well.
Yeah.
What about Nick just Hine? How's Nick Hine going? Jeez, he's on fire.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's very good. He hits me up a lot, so he's fun to play with as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
yeah.
Who's the best player to lead to at the club?
And the worst?
Best? Can't go past Zachy Merritt. Yep. He's kicking. He's unbelievable.
Yep.
And then worst, I'd say Nick Cox.
Yeah, Coxie. You give it to him. Don't worry. Tell me, how far in front of the best and fairest is Darcy Parrish? And do you think he can win the Brownlow?
Oh, I think it's tight between him and Zachy Merritt.
Junior Merritt,
in the best
okay.
and fairest.
Yep.
Yeah, but
who would you have in front at the present time?
Oh, tough one. Probably, maybe Darce by a little bit. Okay. But I reckon it'd be very, very close.
Very close. Okay.
Yeah.
Who would you have, Scoot?
Best to kick to get it from?
No, who's in front of the best and fairest?
Oh, right.
See, he does this to me all the time. He zones out. He's trying to write an article as he's interviewing. He zones out and he misses our intriguing dialogue. Mm.
All right, just continue on then, Jerry.
All right, well, I will. Who has been the most disappointing player this year?
Oh, jeez, tough question. I think everyone's been pretty good.
Yeah, I agree.
That's a garbage question, Jerry.
No, it's a good answer.
I don't know.
That's what it was. Yeah, it was a tough question, but a really good answer, Harry.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me about the coach. His strengths and his weaknesses.
No weaknesses for Trapp. He's been awesome, I reckon. He's come in with sort of like a clear plan for the club.
Yep.
And just his ability to sort of enforce that on us. And I guess he's teaching us different things every week. And I think the boys have really brought in and really have a lot of trust in what he's trying to bring and where he's trying to direct the club to.
Yep.
And I think he's just been really good. And he's, I guess, probably the main reason why we've come out and we're doing pretty well this year.
Ironically, your defence is probably not as sound as your attack. And yet Truck was one of the really good defenders.
Well, yeah, I think we've got some new guys back there. So
okay, fair enough.
We went back. Jaden Stoz, Jaden Laverde and James Stewart have both gone back. Sort of they were forwards before, and I think they're getting better each week. And I think we've got some really good sort of experience in Dyson down there.
Yeah.
Sort of, I guess, state of the ship when things get a little bit rattled. And then, like you said, we've got Jaden and James who have come in who are new. And then we've got Rids back there as well, who's just reliable each week and you know what you're going to get.
So if Jaden,
I think it's,
if Jaden Stores or Rids got injured and you were pushed back there, would you understand the system that they're playing or is it pretty much a man-on-man system?
No, I think it's, I think it's just a system. I think we'd be able to sort of go in and, I guess, know it roughly.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think the backs look after each other, which is nice when they're playing.
Yep.
And I think, it's pretty, not simple, but it's a sort of reliable sort of back line.
Sam Drayton was good on the weekend.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but, you know, if he was good, we sort of missed his marking down the line. Flip was really good for us, I thought. For the week, Sammy was out, but Sammy coming back in was a really nice sort of addition.
Mm.
And I thought he played awesome. His marking was outstanding.
Scoop, you got anything to add at the end?
Harry, great to have you on. We've enjoyed you dominating for the red and black. It was really must have been a really tough year for you last year, given that you're in the hub and you didn't get to play any VFL footy. And I know all the other young blokes, like your Archie Perkins and your Nick Coxes, are getting all the plaudits. But here on Sports Day, we're Harry Jones,
man. Yeah, no, we're big on Harry.
So keep going the way you're going, and we'll talk to you later in the year.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks, Gerald.
Harry Jones there.
Did I get a Gerald then?
No, that was Jared.
Oh, was it?
I think it was his Zoom link going a little bit Mark Robinson on him.
Harry Jones, there's a name that is going to be front and centre down at Bomberland for a long, long time. Very good game, and he was one of the stars. More Sports Day right after this, including... Oh, is it time for tips?
No, I don't think so, is it?
It's time for tips.
I'm out of the tips.
Show us your tips after this.
You are listening to Sports Day. We're here for the Kia Sorento and across Tasmania for Wilson Homes. We're also here for Jared Healy's cough. Earlier tonight, we had a chat with Gold Coast coach Stewie Jew. They're under the pump, the Suns.
Thanks for having me.
It's the same cycle each and every time. You can be gutted on a Saturday and or a Sunday or a Monday morning, and then by midweek, you get that resolve back, and all of a sudden, in the excitement of a potential victory ahead. Where are you in that spectrum as we speak?
Oh, no, there's no doubt. Some losses hang around and smell for a little bit longer, but we had our main session today. We set the week up really well through our review, and then I guess we're all energised, and myself in particular, with the way the players attacked the main session today. So I guess we're right in the thick of that, I guess, the excitement, the anticipation of the upcoming game.
Is there still room, Stuart, for like a serious hit out on a Tuesday or a Wednesday? Because I've always believed that players, after a really bad performance, and we've all played in them, in fact, I've played in more than I'd like to admit, they want to expunge the demons. They want to give themselves a little bit of pain, a little bit of self-flagellation to start themselves psychologically.
Yeah, no, it's good for the soul. Tuesday's probably a bit early, but Wednesday, you know, we always have a contest element. I guess we maintain our effort around that area, but one thing we did different today was, you know, generally if you do a few 1v1s, 2v2, is they're all off in separate areas, but we did it today and did it one at a time, so everyone got to watch and feed off that energy, and it had a really good feel to it. So I guess that was the part for me that, you know, them seeing other guys competing hard as opposed to, okay, golf and do our bits in our areas and then come back together unaware of what the others and the work they're putting in. Took a little bit of a longer time, but I think the result was exactly what we're after in terms of guys seeing others get to work.
Hey, Joey, is there a bit of a reluctance these days to do those physical type sessions with the injury risk that you can have at training? The last thing you want is guys getting injured at training. Is there a bit of reluctance to do that sort of training these days?
Yeah, Richard, waivers. And sometimes it's how's your whole of club availability and which players are available. And I guess, you know, we've got three of our leadership group out. So I think the easy ones to go, well, geez, we can't lose Tuke Miller. But then on the flip side, the example he sets. So I can't say it's never there, but there's always that feeling that, and particularly with the concussion one now, if someone gets a head knock at training, then, you know, they're out for a couple of weeks.
Interesting stuff there from Stewie Jew. Big question as to how many people are going to be there next year. And his name is on that list of people, isn't it? You know, assistant coaches, senior coach, football department.
Yep.
It's a little bit like Carlton. It could be anything come 2022. I tell you what could be anything come 2022 is our tips, because the way they're going, they can only go one way in 2021. It's time for this.
It's time for footy tips, thanks to Drinkwise. Remember, whether it's footy, rugby, basketball, golf, or even lawn bowls, you won't miss a moment if you Drinkwise.
Yes, round 14 tips. Jerry got 4. Sam got 5. Lawrence got 5 and a bonus point. Big week for Lawrence. Zoe unfortunately got 4. Where did it all go wrong, Zoe? Who'd you tip?
Didn't go that badly. She got 4.
Well,
it was only 5 games.
She's not even listening at the moment. Yeah. She's
and
so
I stupidly, flat. I stupidly went against my own advice and tipped your mob, which means you didn't tip Carlton. Good decision.
I won't be tipping Carlton for the rest of the year.
I agree. Probably win this week.
Yeah, probably. Thursday.
Hang on, leaderboard.
Oh, leaderboard. Jared 86, Lawrence 82, Sam 81, Zoe 77.
Lawrence is on the charge.
Yeah, he's only 4 behind you, actually.
Oh, geez.
Gee whiz. Big couple of weeks. Thursday night, we start 3rd v 4th, Geelong v Brisbane at the Gabba. What did you call it last year?
Gabba Tour.
Yabba at the Gabba? What was it?
Jibba Jabba.
Jibba Jabba at the Gabba.
Jibba Jabba at the Gabba, yes. There's been a fair bit of that in recent times, and there's been a bit of Jibba Jabba around here. So Zoe's gone the Lions. Lawrence has gone Geelong. Who have you gone, Scoop?
Lions for me.
You're going the Lions. Okay, I'm going to try and cover Lawrence. I'm going the Cats.
You're going to have the tip first. Richmond v St Kilda. I assume we're all going at the Tigers.
Yep.
North Melbourne and the Gold Coast. Down at Tassie. Down at Blundstone.
Yep.
Temperature is minus, the forecast is minus 7 in snow.
That is shocking, isn't it?
Suns weren't like that. Zoe and Lawrence have both tipped the Suns.
Have they?
Yep. I am tipping North Melbourne, Jared. Because I think the Suns are going terribly, and yep. I don't think they'll like the conditions down at Tassie. And North, albeit...
Well, who's going to like the conditions?
Well, Taswegians.
Well, there's plenty of blokes from Melbourne up in on the Gold Coast. They're not all born and bred on the northern beaches.
Yeah, but they've been living in...
True.
In the sun.
That's true.
Come on. If you went and played footy in Bali for a year and then came out to Tassie...
Yep. That'd be cold. How many long sleeves do you reckon we're going to see? We'll have to get Waldy's long sleeve counter out.
44. I reckon over-unders is 11.
I'm torn here. I'm going to go for... Well,
before one of us dies, can you tip?
Kangaroos.
It's a 2-2 split. The old 2-2 split. Okay. Collingwood Fremantle. Another big game.
Yep.
I am tipping Fremantle for Banger Harvey's first game as coach, as is Lawrence. Zoe doesn't believe in fairy tales, and she's tipping Freo.
I'm tipping Freo too.
Another 2-2 split. This is a big week for us. It's a big week. Essendon and Melbourne, I assume we're all tipping Melbourne.
Yep.
Hang on. Hang on, Jared.
Or Zoe.
Zoe's off the bandwagon. Is this the first time you haven't tipped Essendon all year? You're actually not saying anything at all.
Strangely enough.
And she's given up.
We've got technical issues.
She's given up.
Okay, next
she's
one.
She's given up on the tips and the Bombers.
She's only 11 behind. nine behind.
She's not even looking. That's how flat she is at the moment. Next game is Port Adelaide and Sydney. I assume we're all tipping Port at the Adelaide Oval.
No. Zoe's gone the Swan.
What is happening over there?
I'm going for Port.
It's a couple of gin and tonics deep. You're tipping Sydney to beat Port at the Adelaide Oval.
Okay, that's all right. That's a bold tip.
Okay.
You'll be apologising if they get up.
GWS Hawthorn, this is also our bonus point round.
This is where I'm struggling. I can't get the bonus point. Joey's gone 15. How many have you gone, Scoop?
I've gone 32.
For the Giants?
Yeah.
17 for me.
17. What's Lawrence gone? 9.
Okay.
I assume we're all tipping... Oh, no, hang on. Two big games here. West Coast and the Bulldogs.
Where's that going?
At Optus in Perth.
Going the West Coast.
Who are you going?
I'm going the West Coast.
Okay. I am going the Bulldogs.
Mm-hmm.
Zoe's gone the Bulldogs. And Lawrence has gone the Eagles. Another 2-2 split. And Carlton and Adelaide. It's at Marvel. It's almost last chance saloon sort of stuff.
If it was a belting... By the Crows.
What's it? Give me a belting number.
8 goals, non-effort.
48.
A non-effort 8-goal loss.
Yeah, I think anything over.
Would David Teague be coaching in round 16?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's that close.
Yeah,
it's,
I don't.
It's tender hooks.
I don't think. Well, you're asking. You're saying with no effort.
Yeah, no it's, effort. It's, 8-goal
game. It would struggle. Carlton would struggle to lose to Adelaide by 8 goals without effort.
Yep.
So that the two probably go hand in hand. That would be two insipid no-effort performances in a row. I don't know if Carlton could afford a third.
No, okay.
Do you agree with that assessment? Or
look, there'd be so much heat. It would be almost intolerable.
Intolerable.
Yep.
Good word, intolerable. Mm, it would be untenable and intolerable.
Untenable, intolerable.
Okay, well, that does it. There's our tips. So Jared, 86, Lawrence, 82, Sam, 81, Zoe, 77.
I'm having a bad month, actually. I'm going to have to lift.
Oh, yeah?
I don't feel this round. I feel like these 50-50s, I'd rather be tipping a 25%er in a 75-25 rather than a 50-50. I'm just no good at them.
I hope everyone's had a good week so far. And if you did get a good tip earlier in the week and you didn't get on the train, bad luck.
Butch train. you're talking like you. It left the building about 4 hours
ago. And I'm not sure Nisha was on it.
Bad luck, Nisha. Listen next time.
All right,
Scoop.
We'll see you tomorrow.